Welcome to And With Your Spirit, a homily podcast that takes preaching out of the sanctuary and moves it into your daily life. Let us make ourselves open to the voice of Christ and the movement of the Holy Spirit, that we might be transformed.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Lord be with you. Good evening, everyone. It's good to be back. For those who have not come every single week of November, I've missed the last 3 weeks. Two of them were out of country and one was just out of the city. We had several priests filling in here. Those priests really enjoyed their time with us on Monday nights. Father Christian Rabb, who's a monk of St. Meinrad, he's stationed up at St. Joseph in Jasper, and that was his second time to be down here. It was 2 weeks ago, maybe? Anyways, he said, call me anytime. I love that. So he loves it. He loves you, all right? It's great to share that gift with other priests too, and so I'm glad that you've been so welcoming, so thank you. Tonight we celebrate our first Monday together in the season of Advent, the time of preparation for the coming of Christ. There are many things that prevent us from receiving him, not only at Christmas, but even now. And so in order to prepare ourselves more worthily to be ready to receive him on Christmas Day when he brings the light into our darkness, let's ask him to forgive our sins as we call to mind them tonight to more worthily celebrate these sacred mysteries. The story tonight in the gospel is of a Roman centurion who goes to see Jesus when Jesus is heading back home. He's going back to Capernaum, kind of home base, where he began his ministry, where he met Peter, where he healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law, where he went fishing and taught the crowds around the Sea of Galilee. The centurion knows he's coming into town, and the centurion goes, and as he's going to Jesus, he says, Lord, would you please heal my servant? I'm a Roman centurion, so I'm in charge of 100 men. I've got authority, but I don't have authority over this healing. Will you do it? And Jesus can't believe his eyes. In fact, this is the only time in Matthew's gospel where Jesus is ever amazed. It says that Jesus was amazed at this man's faith. And so he says, I've never seen anybody with such faith, which is kind of a slap to the really like faithful people, right? Like even the good Jews, they don't have as much faith as this foreigner does. When he says that, he says to him, take me to your home, right? Do you really want me to go heal? Then bring me to your servant. And the man expresses even deeper faith because he says, Lord, I am not worthy for you to enter under my roof. You've ever said that before? At every Mass. I'm not worthy for you to enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant, we say soul at Mass, my servant will be healed. In other words, like the leper who went to Jesus for healing and actually touched Jesus, or the woman caught in adultery, the hem of his garment, or when Jesus like spat in people's eyes or ears and gross stuff, right? But he healed them. All of the touching was present. But with this man, he says, all you have to do is say it. That's it. How many of you have ever heard God talk to you in prayer? Or you think you have? I think I have. Don't be embarrassed. All right, good. We should. We're Christian people. We believe God is living. So your hand can be up and that's okay. All right, you're not crazy. But how many times when God has said something to us like, avoid that gathering or make sure you pay that extra dues or give that gift or refrain from that purchase, have we said, nah, and then just did it anyway, right? The centurion, he believes so strongly in the word, the power of the word of Christ, that he doesn't even ask the Lord who can heal to come in. That's how strongly he believes. What I got caught up in on this gospel reading was the faith of the servant and the location at which it happened, Capernaum. I wonder what Jesus thought of that little town, Capernaum. Because Jesus had frequented it. Like it was a place where he first felt like, maybe he felt like he could do something with his mission. That was the first place that people actually left behind their job to follow him. And so now he's going back. And as he's going back, this Roman officer who shouldn't believe in Jesus, he comes to Jesus with faith. And then I thought, well, what's his story? If this unnamed officer who is command over powerful people, who's subject to authority himself and who is not part of God's chosen race, Israel, What formed him? It's not like he just heard that some preacher was coming to town and he's going to go run up to the guy and say, hey, I believe you can heal, so go for it. Like, he had to have been convinced, because if he wasn't convinced, he wouldn't have gone. Or if he went, when the Lord said, take me, he would have said, okay, right? If he just heard the stories, there must have been something around him that had formed him to give him faith. What was it? In our lives, everything around us forms us. I've been thinking about that a lot, actually, recently. I visit a lot of families as a priest. That's actually one of the most beautiful parts about being a priest, the vocation to priesthood, is that you have no family, but you have way more than you need, right? A priest, as long as he's not a total jerk, has a dinner and a home to go to every night somewhere, right? It's wonderful. And as I go to each of these homes in the last 6 years as a priest, it becomes really clear to me who is intentionally forming their children and who isn't. Because your kids and your grandkids, your siblings, young people, you're learning from everything around you. And if you think that God is just going to miraculously, like, change your mind or make you holy or zap you with understanding, you're wrong. So, in the Advent season, look around. What are things that are helping you? And what are things that are hurting you? Let's start going down a list, all right? And then I'll stop my homily, okay? The first one, what's the one app on your phone that causes you the most anguish? Waste of time, roads you shouldn't go down, judgmental thoughts, gossip, anger at politicians, whatever. What's the one app that it causes you the most damage in your faith? Delete it. And what's the one app that causes the most growth in holiness? Move all your other ones to the second screen. So when you turn your phone on, you only see that one first. Or what's the one piece of clothing that causes you the most immodesty? Pitch it. Don't donate it. Nobody else needs that either. And what's the one that causes you to be the most chaste? Or the most humble, or the most pure. Put that on the best hanger you've got, or put it right in the middle of the closet, or right under the light. I don't know what your closets look like. What's the one thing that you've given money to recently that has hurt you the most? An expense you've made, or a regular expense you make? Stop. No longer go to that restaurant or that store. And instead, what's the one thing you've spent money on that's been the most helpful? Buy another one. Give it away if you don't need to. Let someone else grow in holiness. We could go down a long list here, right? What's the one friend who's pulled you away from the Lord more than anyone else? Don't talk to them, but pray for them. And the one friend who causes you to grow the closest to the Lord in love, call them or text them tonight. Before you leave, you could go through a whole list of your life, of everything that's around you that forms you, and you could check off the worst and the best. And if you just did that for three things, imagine what would happen. I think Advent might be a time to create a little Capernaum for you. Because if the Roman centurion was being baked, formed, grown in a society where even he could come to have that much faith in Jesus, then we have no excuses. Make Advent that time for you, and I'll try to make that time for me too.